All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today we and Milford are going to the dogs in Milford Goes to the Dogs.
Oh, well, good. That makes it very nice and clear.
Now, initially, I thought this would be like a The Pack type situation where like something is turning the dogs against people. But that might be too scary for the audience here.
Oh, I was thinking The Pack, like the Gargoyles villains.
Oh.
Yeah, when you say Pack, yes, that's what I think of first. I mean, that's the first one that comes to mind. The second one is a really cheap old movie with killer dogs.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. The Joe Don Baker movie.
Yeah, I was...
Oh, that was Joe Don. Okay.
I was going to say that I assume that the one that... that Rob is talking about is some terrible, terrible old movie.
Yeah, I only know about it from a podcast from 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, it's a...
I was thinking Pigs from Space, except with dogs.
Pigs from Space?
For some reason.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, the old something has gone to the dog. Or wait, I was thinking like Muppet Gags for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Should always be thinking of Muppet Gags.
Well, yes.
So yeah, we're just hanging around the base. Heat Wave and Cody are fixing a thing, and then Hoist drops in, and he has invented the Talkie Squawky, a terrible name that he insists on using throughout the entirety of the episode.
Yes, he is dedicated to this terrible name. Also, I appreciate that Heatwave was taking advantage of Cody being a small being to get into places he can't reach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they need to get a mini-con in the base to do repairs.
They do. They need to recruit Fix-It.
They do.
What's he doing? Yeah. What's he up to?
He would fit into this milieu.
Yes.
Yeah, or one of those many extra Fix-Its that were on that ship that one day.
Right.
Yes, like Toolbox.
That I think all blew up or something.
Yes.
Oh, Toolbox, yeah.
Toolbox, the guy whose name is definitely not a euphemism for scrotum.
Oh, God, it should be. Wait, I should write that down.
No, it's like when a guy's nicknamed Balls. Like, oh man, that guy's tough.
I don't know that I've known anyone nicknamed Balls, but maybe I don't hang around enough tough guys.
I probably met some guy named Toolbox. My dad used to work as a mechanic.
I have 100% met a guy nicknamed Balls.
Oh, he played hockey, of course.
Well, I also knew a hockey player who lost a testicle while playing hockey.
Oh, that sounds deeply unfortunate.
My brain just wants to ask, like, skates or stick, but I don't really want to know the answer.
Puck.
Ooh.
Puck!
Oh,
puck!
Oh.
Ow.
That's rough. That's real rough.
Yeah, that more was involved there than either of the other choices. Ow. Anyway, I was thinking about because...
Guy has four kids, though, so...
One of them is working.
Yeah, clearly the other one's doing okay.
Walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
As a term.
Yes.
Like, I saw a meme, I probably should have saved it, because it was like 5 days ago, of imagine if whoever named the walkie-talkie had named other things.
I'm personally...
Like swords, pokey-wokey, or whatever.
I'm personally fond of lists of birds named by people who hate birds.
Yeah. Bird names are insane. Oh! But... Other side note. I remember when I was a small child, I forget why. I don't think it was a school thing. I think it was something else. Maybe I was trying out for Boy Scouts and failed. I had to, like, fill out a list of, like, identifying... Oh, is this a bird or is this a fish?
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was perch. As a person who'd never went fishing, what the fuck do you think I put down as...
That's a trick question.
It's a bird. Bird perch.
That is a trick question. It's
yes, it's a trick question. Apparently it's a fucking fish.
Yes.
It's a delicious fish.
And then when I eventually did go fishing, What I pulled up was not a perch. It was strange, mysterious things with feet in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Which I ate.
Delicious.
But that was a fun day.
With they
pulling
had
up
feet?
Strange things on the... Yeah, well
I assume that's some
kind
of...
Were you fishing in, like, the Devonian era?
No, like one of the little mud skipper kind of thing.
Yeah, I assume what he's actually referring to is an amphibian.
No, it was a fish that, like, had feet. Front feet.
But amphibians.
Possibly it was amphibious, but...
Yeah, I'm assuming that you just, like, went back in time and, like...
I think it was delicious.
Ate one of those fish that just started to like, the tic-tac
talic
or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it turns out the talkie squawky is... It operates at a frequency that humans can't hear. It's like when businesses play music at a pitch that annoys teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll get off their lawns or what have you.
Oh, I should keep that in mind. I should make a note of that. Got a lot of neighbor kids, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, so it does indeed turn out to work because they get a transmission on it, which Cody can't hear.
Well, good. Good job. Good job, Hoist.
It's a good gag when they keep testing it at the beginning, and they keep testing it in a room where Cody is.
Yes.
Like, yes, I can hear you because you're talking into it in the same room I am.
Because you're talking from 10 feet away.
Yeah.
So he was all like, yeah, this is interesting, but you got to test it before you actually use it in the field.
Hmm.
So over in Milford, Wedge and Hotshot, they're fixing some roads and also hanging out with some dogs.
Dogs! Yeah.
Dogs, so, they're good.
So all of the humans in Milford are at the arena for some kind of, like, Milford event.
It's the Founders Festival, which I'm going to believe is some kind of, like, Midsommar thing.
It must be. If everyone is at the stadium for this.
Well, somebody is getting, like, burned in a wicker man, or put in a bear suit, or having bees poured on them.
What was the Griffin Rock? Wasn't there a Founders Day thing? Or, oh no, Founders Day was Simpsons, wasn't it?
I mean, I think there was a similar thing.
There was some sort of holiday in Griffin Rock that was, like, celebrating the
Pioneer Day.
Yes, yeah. That was it.
Rock always had a bunch of amusingly specific fake holidays, which I appreciate.
Yeah,
it's just sense. I'm just questioning, like, everybody going to the stadium for this. Okay,
it's a Midsommar thing.
It must be. It has to be.
It is weird. Like when we see the rest of the town later, it is completely devoid of life except for dogs. And one guy walking his dogs.
Like, that is wild.
Strange. It's very cult-like.
Either that or there's a big roast beef sale at Arby's.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe there's a big roast beef sale at the stadium. I'd go if there was roast beef.
And also, these dogs are Shep and Lou.
Good dog names. Hotshot is so...
They must have, like, name tags on their collars or something.
Yes, they have to, because how would the robots figure out those names? Like, Medics isn't there to give them funny names.
It's true.
Those dogs must have had actual names.
So also, it's worth noting that Hotshot is the instigator here. Because everything is Hotshot's fault.
Of course.
Yes.
He's the one who's like, hey, instead of being responsible, we should go play with these dogs.
Mm. Yes,
it's a real, oh my god, this man is my exact double. Oh my god, this dog has a puffy tail.
Yes, he even says, like, how often do we get to see puppies?
Also, they keep saying that they're not supposed to be using this communication system until it's properly tested, and just the idea of anything in rescue bots not being used until it's properly tested seems unreasonable. Like, they're constantly using everything before it's properly tested, and that's the problem.
Because indeed,
well, yeah,
if you've been
keeps coming up with things, or there's just this new thing that they have to test out, like the weird shovel thing on the alien planet or something.
Well, if you've been paying attention, you will note that when they turn this talkie squawky on, the dogs go nuts.
Yeah,
as do all the other animals,
and they start barking.
The twist was kind of obvious.
Yes. To us, adults.
Yeah. Yes, this is true.
I mean, again, it's the target audience may not see it coming quite so easily.
Yeah. No.
But so, it was cute with Hotshot playing with the dogs, and he was trying to make fetch happen by playing fetch with them.
And so the farmer's now coming, and so they contact Wedge and Hotshot over the talkie squawkies, and this makes the dogs go nuts again, and they flee.
Yes, but
so now they have to chase these dogs down
because they accidentally left the gate open.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to the answer of who let the dogs out?
Who?
Which
who indeed?
That is a song that was like so annoyingly big in the 90s. Was it the 90s or the early 2000s?
Oh, no. Like late 90s. Like 99, maybe?
Yeah, but like the latest 90s.
And then I hadn't heard it for ages. And then like a week ago, I forget where the... Was it on a podcast or something? Like, it came up.
Not on my podcast, sir.
Except it just came up on this podcast.
Well, yes. But we're not going to play it, so there.
Aren't we?
No.
No.
I'm the one editing. I'm not.
Okay, David, this is where you edit in who let the dogs out.
No. I mean, not unless I could find, like, a dog singing it version or some shit.
There is 100% a bit where where dogs bark.
Oh, yeah. The dogs out. Like, Jingle Bells. But, like, man, I wish I could remember where it came up. They didn't actually play the song. They just referenced it. I think referencing someone else referencing it, it was like, wow, that's a song I haven't thought of in forever, and then this episode happens, and it's still in my head.
Now we're in song reference-ception.
Yes. Yes! Hey, it's a song reference I knew!
That's unfortunate.
That has been happening a lot lately. Maybe it's because, unrelated to song genres, because I've been listening to Sirius XM in my car again.
Good. Learn some music.
And here's part of the reason, like, I'm always bad at music, because anytime I hear a song, used to was, in the radio, in the car, like, I don't know who's singing it, I don't know the title of the song, so I'm not going to remember it, and I have bad lyrics.
Oh, and now it tells you.
With my car, I can look over, and it says the name of the song, who the fuck's playing it, and occasionally I get a picture of the album cover.
Yeah.
Like, oh, goody.
It is helpful.
That's a David Bowie song. I've heard it before. I didn't know it was David Bowie.
There you go.
Oh, I've heard more Depeche Mode songs. Maybe they're not that bad.
Well, and if you don't enjoy them, you just turn off your radio and then enjoy the silence.
Or try to change it. I got to find more good channels. I've mostly been on the New Wave channel.
Ooh.
I was like, that's a good shit.
I need to make you listen to some more of the Smiths. Actually, if you've been on that channel, you've been listening to sufficient amounts of the Smiths.
There's been some Smiths and Morrissey. Is that the other one? Or
yeah.
One of them other things is coming up.
All you need to know about Morrissey is that he has a song called I Have Forgiven Jesus.
Oh, wait. He's the one with the Girlfriend in a Coma song, right?
Yes.
I know. It's serious.
Yeah, okay. He's the one I can never take serious because anytime, like, his singing sounds like a joke. The titles and lyrics sound like a joke. Like he's an emo comedy act is what he is.
He's just very melodramatic.
But it's impossible to take him seriously. I mean, at least with... Okay, unless it's Oingo Boingo. Most of the other bands, it's like, okay, they're being serious. Morrissey cannot be serious. He's so insane.
Look, back in Columbus, there was a lesbian bar that had a Morrissey night every week, so
very ironic.
It's the way of my people to be melodramatic.
So they do end up finding these dogs, but unfortunately, once they use the talkie squawks to let everybody know they found them, and then they immediately become lost again.
Yes,
yeah, they keep finding them and running.
The dogs run off.
So they finally find them and then realize that they themselves are now lost.
Uh oh.
Yeah. Well, at the point when they say, oh, we're lost, I'm confused by, like, I can understand with them wandering around the town and get confused, but they're standing in front of the giant stadium, which is the largest thing in town, on the shore. How are you lost now?
Also, all of this 100% Hotshot's fault.
Yes. Yes. You gotta start carrying a map.
But the solution to the problem is making Fetch happen. Because the dog's stick that they were playing Fetch with is still at home. And Hotshot says, "Fetch, boys." And they run home.
You just had to tell them.
So this entire joke, this entire episode feels like a series of in-jokes that someone was dared to. It's like,
yes,
make the punchline of the episode making Fetch happen. And letting the dogs out and dog whistles!
Also,
but not
Hoist blames himself for all of this, and I was like, don't you dare blame yourself, Hoist. This is all Hotshot's fault.
We did what? Not properly testing and going out into the... Well, okay, part of the problem is him also going into the field.
Yes.
If he'd stayed back at the base, because in the process of setting up the new communication system, he deactivated the regular one.
Yes.
So they could not radio back to base. They only had their talkie-walkies.
It is mentioned that in order to test the new system, they had to disconnect the old system, which is unfortunate.
That's another gag. Like, at the beginning of the episode, when Heatwave and Cody are walking around and dealing with the walkie-talkies that the bots are testing out, they're doing a walk and talk.
They are indeed walking and talking.
This episode is constructed out of four different puns.
It's load-bearing puns.
And that brings us now to the next episode, The Ice Wave. In fact, I forgot to mention that the previous episode was written by Ben Ward, and so was this one. Oh. Ben Ward, last seen around these these parts, writing Monster Savings.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't sound sufficiently...
Whoa, the wacky inflatable tube man.
He doesn't sound sufficiently Irish to be writing on the show. His name should be like Kieran McAllister or something. Sorry.
So, we are in the danger room, and Hotshot is ready to be... He's ready for the next mission, because once he wins another mission, he is on top of the leaderboard.
So, I have questions. So, apparently Blades is at the top of the leaderboard.
Yes.
Which means, I suppose it does make sense that Blades, out of all of the professors, would be the one who does not have anything better to do than just play the sim missions all day.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
It's also possible Blades might have been writing more of them, and to make sure they work, has to test them out himself.
I suppose.
Also possible.
Why are the professors and the students in the same leaderboard? That sounds unfair.
That is kind of weird. I didn't check, like, who everyone else and, like, who's in last. It probably would have been funny to find out who's in last. But like, Hotshot is annoyed because Blades is first. He says because Blades has seniority. He's been here the longest. It's like, because they both have the same amount of points. It's like, Hotshot, it's alphabetical.
Nope. Wedge tells Hotshot that it's because he is better.
Yes.
He wants to get one more point, so he is definitely number one. So that's his obsession this episode.
And so they are called in, and Hotshot is late because the other recruits challenged him to hop there on one finger, and he did it because he's Hotshot.
Isn't it like Wedge, like, offhand, like... Hotshot says, "Oh, I'll do anything. Give me a challenge. Hop on one finger." And, like, Wedge doesn't say, "Hop to the meeting on one finger." He just says, "Hop on one finger," before they can even get called for the meeting. But Hotshot hops all the way to the meeting slowly.
He sure does.
So, the lesson today is to fight the battles you can win. Sure what this means, but they soon find out as the danger room takes them to a in like an Arctic or Minnesota or something.
Yeah, I'd say Minnesota.
It's very flat, plain, mostly with one house, some scattered trees, and the obstacle for the episode.
Maybe the UP.
And so just put people in the house to figure what's going on then.
Well, no, okay, before we get to the obstacle of the episode, when they're first dropped in, like, they're standing there, flat area, one house, two people in the house, and I paused it because my brain first went to, Jen, have you ever heard of the D&D supplement, like, Village of Homlet?
No, I have not.
Okay, it was like...
Tell me this story.
Ravencroft or something. I forget what it was for. It was like an early supplement thing of, like, I think it was supposed to be from like four levels 1 to 5 or something or other. But all of it is, it's a description of the village of Homlet, a starting zone town, and describes the villagers and their jobs and buildings and maps everything out.
And then they're all vampires.
No, that's the thing. It doesn't really give enemies to fight.
Uh-huh.
There's like no monster. I don't think there's a monster. I haven't actually read for it myself. I've only heard about it. And I heard tales of like early D&D parties. It's like, wait, what are we supposed to do in this village? And D&D players being D&D players, murder hobo the town.
That is rude.
Yes! Like, it. Either the bad DMs, like, missed part of the book where it said, oh, you're supposed to get quests to go out and do shit from the town. Instead, they went house to house killing people. Which is what this little house gave me the thing, because they're standing there. It's like, what are we supposed to do here? And they turn and look at the house.
It's like, ah, no, start killing.
My brain is, oh, the Village of Homlet, oh no. But they're little kiddos, they're there to save people.
Yes.
And then the problem of the episode shows up, which is the monolith monsters. Kind of.
The ice wave.
I have this in my notes as some kind of Roland Emmerich bullshit.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Oh, it is.
Man, I do love some Roland Emmerich bullshit, too.
It's the ice that chases you into a building and kills you.
Exactly. It very much made me think of The Day After Tomorrow, where they're outrunning the cold.
I love that movie so much. It's so dumb.
Apparently this is a real thing, but it's not actually this dramatic.
Also wolves. He's also wolves. Outrunning wolves, but the cold catches up with the wolves.
And also, this might be a thing that happens in Geostorm. I haven't actually seen Geostorm.
I saw it once. That was actually Dean Devlin on his own.
Oh, the solo.
Yeah, when they broke up.
Yeah, and it's really not as much destroying things as one would expect. So, I saw it once, and I was like, that's kind of mid.
It's like an Art Garfunkel solo album.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, so it is an actual thing.
It was too much trying to prevent the destruction and not enough just destroying things.
Oh, that's no fun.
No, that's boring.
So this is an actual thing. I didn't look it up. It just reminded me of those pictures you see every some winters of a place on the Great Lakes where you have houses near the lake and the wind and the ice... like, freeze buildings solid in a sheet.
Oh, yeah, because the wind is blowing surf up, and then the surf is hitting the building and just freezing. Yeah, I've seen that. It's pretty great.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
This is just like, it's not quite a glacier. It's like growing crystals, presumably off a lake. I didn't notice a lake in the episode. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, like the monsters from the monolith monsters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, big monolith monster vibes.
Only these are ice instead of giant space crystal monsters, in quotes. So the kiddos have to deal with this wall of ice that is heading towards the house. And not listening to the suggestion of the day, they're just, we have to stop this.
Yep.
It's like,
gotta stop this. Hotshot is so focused on being the best that he's just charging right in there as he does.
Mm-hmm. So they make many, many attempts to defeat the Ice Wave, but instead...
I do like that slowly after a few tries, like, Medics just stands there one try, and then the next try, he sits down next to Hoist.
Yep.
And they're just like, we've given up. That was a cute little scene.
They're like, well, just let Hotshot tire himself out.
Yeah.
It's like a toddler who got into the coffee. Let him wear himself out.
Like, he ends up embedded in the Ice Wave at one point.
Yes. With his face yes. sticking out.
And then finally they realize that, this is a real Kobayashi Maru kind of scenario.
I didn't realize it was going for that until the very last bit.
I don't believe in the no-win scenario.
Yeah, it's Hotshot when it should have been Medics. Cause, well, okay, it is a Hotshot-focused episode. But Medics was the first one that's like, wait, this ain't working. I'm going to sit over here.
I'm just going to watch him bang his head into the wall until he gets tired of it.
But they do figure out, the thing we usually do, well, the thing the rescue bots did more than the kiddos is, our priority is to save people.
Yes.
Not to stop the natural disaster.
Yes.
We can't fight nature itself. Yes. We just save people.
But Hotshot...
So they do.
Yeah. Although Hotshot does have a plan to actually save the house by...
Yes, that is a great ending for this episode.
Yes.
Because it turns into the Kobayashi Maru. Mm. He Kirks it. I found the third option.
Also, he seems to be convinced that being number one means he will get a crown, which he does
yes.
not need. No.
Oh, yeah, he wants to be king. Which,
no. Did you not let him be king?
Would he be King Shot?
That's a good question.
Do you have to change his name if he
becomes like a
king?
Like a Rodimus Prime situation?
It is weird how often becoming a king comes up in Transformers when it doesn't really feel like
a monarchy.
Cybertronian thing. Yeah, monarchy. At least not in that way. Like King Grimlock and Starscream getting a crown.
Mm-hmm.
Like for a continuity that almost never actually has a king-like figure. There are leaders of various kinds, but not kings. Every once in a while, there's somebody who wants to be king. At least in ceremonial appearance.
Yes.
Do not let Hotshot have a crown.
No.
He doesn't need it. He doesn't need the encouragement.
How did they pick this up?
He picked it up from humans.
I guess, but like G1 with Starscream. I guess he did go back to medieval times at one point.
So, he did.
Yes. So,
he
okay,
did,
that
in
was
fact.
In his memory.
Either that, or maybe Cybertron has, like, a kingly tradition of some sort.
Maybe.
That they just haven't done much lately.
Oh, that'd actually be a neat thing to investigate, like, after the Primes disappeared and we just got one left, a king arose.
That sounds very, like, immediately pre-phase 2 IDW. Like, that sounds like something from around that, like, All Hail Megatron. Like, post-All Hail Megatron, but pre the death of Optimus Prime kind of era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but before we got all the great stuff, it's like in the faffing about era.
When we got all the weird Galvatron stuff.
Yeah, Galvatron was always such a weird bit of IDW that never seemed to fit to me.
No.
Exactly.
He was hunting down animals. The fuck?
Just hated animals.
I guess they were trying to make him sort of like a big game hunter, which, if they leaned into that more, could have worked, but as is, he just never seemed like a character fit for the rest of the story.
It's hard to know what to do with Galvatron.
Mm. Alright, well, that does it for us.
One, don't put him there!
Just leave him out. You don't have to include everybody.
No, I guess they were trying to promote his toy at the time or something.
But... Yeah, there is that.
But then they weren't even using the design based upon the toy.
No.
Good old to sell toys.
Yep.
Yeah. No, if you have Megatron around, you don't need Galvatron.
All right, well, that...
Anyway.
That does it for us for this week. We'll be back with more Rescue Bots Academy action next week. But, of course, until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter. We are on Blue Sky. We are on Mastodon.
Are we on Twitter? Are we?
Not really.
No,
not really. You could take that out of the list. Okay. It's like, no.
But we are on...
We're on Blue Sky. We're on Mastodon. We're on Patreon.
Yeah, and we do have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is patreon.com/iaconunderground. As a brief aside, we were on YouTube, and then I managed to get our YouTube channel nuked from orbit, so that was fun. So now we are back on YouTube, and it's just the podcast, and I will limit myself to only uploading extremely legally dubious cartoons, the forbidden cartoons, on my own. Okay.
Question. Yes. What are you going to do about Inhumanoids?
I guess I'm going to have to put it back up on my own personal feed, my own personal channel.
Yeah, maybe a secondary
new personal channel, yeah, because my old account is not allowed to have a YouTube channel anymore or be on YouTube. It got real nuked, y'all. it got real banned. It got completely deleted.
So you can no longer watch Micronauts on our old Iacon Underground channel. There will be a new Iacon Underground channel of some kind.
Yes, there.
But someone else, thankfully, is uploading Micronauts.
Yes, there is.
Check them out.
So
that's not us.
So there is a YouTube Iacon Underground channel that is just our podcast RSS feed, in case you like to get your podcasts via YouTube. But yeah, I need to put Inhumanoids back up. I've just been sort of dragging my feet because I feel like YouTube can go bugger off into the sun right now. But so Patreon for September, we are going to be watching Thunderbolts, which I would say is my favorite MCU movie of the year.
Yay, I guess.
Possibly
I will finally be watching it before we record it, which... Thunderbolts is going to be late this month. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going camping next weekend, but I'm taking a 3-day weekend for it. So I'll be available for recording if we need to. Okay. But yeah, it's going to be a little late in the month. But yeah, I don't know, Rob.
It would be fun if you could try to record from the woods, but I doubt that's feasible.
Yeah, where I tend to go camping, like I'll get maybe one bar of signal if the wind blows just right. So, yeah.
If it was between 1 and 2, that might work, but no.
No, it's not going to happen. But yes, Rob, what did you, like, where would you place it in this year's Marvel oof?
I think it's number one for me, too.
All right.
Really?
Yeah, it's very good.
What else came out this year? What else have we watched?
Captain America, Brave New World, and Fantastic Four.
Okay, that's going to be... I mean, honestly, it won't have to try that hard. Brave New World was okay. It was fine. Yeah. Nothing wrong with it. Fantastic Four, aesthetically great, acting good. It's just missing a special something for me.
I mean, I also really liked Fantastic Four.
You know what exactly that special something is? That special something, as it turns out, is Starship.
the special thing is not enough of the thing focus.
That's fair. I have a lot of questions about their gigantic CRT technology.
I mean, the whole technology, that's a separate universe. Things work weird there. So, like, I don't expect, actually, Thunderbolts to top that, but it honestly wouldn't have to try super hard. The problem is, that's for Marvel movies.
Well, yes.
If we count all comic book movies, they're all screwed as far as I'm concerned.
I would put it equal to Superman, for me personally.
It's really good. You're gonna like it.
It is really good.
You gotta watch it.
I mean, I personally have a soft spot for scruffy losers trying to do good, but...
Yes,
it
but
is
my
just
problem,
generally very... It's good.
I already have a nearly perfect scruffy losers series. That's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, yes.
It just happened. The star just happens to be played by an asshole. Well, the human star happens to be played by an asshole. He's never not actually the main character of the series. That's my boy, Rocket Raccoon. Always has been, always will be. Yeah. Look at the third movie. It's him.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, I'm trying to think of, like, what was the last Marvel movie I enjoyed as much as I enjoyed Superman? It's the last Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Yeah. Nothing else comes close. It's that fucking good. I can't wait till we review Superman. I love DC Comics again. Well,
I don't know if
I love DC Comics movies, not actual DC Comics. There's another thing that happened recently that pissed me off.
Yeah, that's a whole thing. I don't know that
then
I would
again, I wasn't
say
already
it's
reading DC Comics
quite current, up so. To the Guardians movies, but it's definitely good.
One, it needs a fuzzy sidekick who's actually a really good character. If Thunderbolts focuses heavily on David Harbour's Red Guardian,
I mean, he's in a lot.
Then maybe.
There's a good chunk of him. Good chunk of him.
I mean, I would hope so, but, like, he's the only character and actor that I am really excited about for that movie. Everybody else is like, okay, they're there.
Well, Bucky's in it, but...
Sorry, I'm not sexually attracted to Bucky.
I mean, I'm not sexually attracted. I'm aesthetically attracted to Bucky.
I guess. I am not. I don't. That's not the kind of scruffy guy I like. Honestly, David Harbour works because he fits into the Ron Perlman mode, which I don't know why I like that type, but...
I mean, not so that I... He's the daddy.
I'm not into daddies, but, like, something about those two guys is just nice.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so I guess if you want to hear the outcome of this, listen to our Patreon for as little as $1 a month. You can find out what David ultimately actually thinks about Thunderbolts.
Mm. But it's going to be like another 2 weeks before that happens. Watch our what did we do last?
August was, see, you've memory holed it because of the trauma.
Oh, right. Final, they're a Fantastic Four.
On an outer space adventure.
I'd forgotten. It's back. No.
What time is it? Oh, which, my, like, God.
Okay. Thinking about podcasts is like, you know, I forgot our own episode because that's the thing. Listeners, it's harder to remember your own episodes than it is other podcasts you listen to.
It is, because you were doing them, and then you're like, okay, I'm done with this, and I'm moving on to another thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just gets thrown out. But as a listener, the two best kinds of episodes of pretty much any podcast, or at least the ones that review things, are things where somebody really loves an episode, and the other category is someone really hates something.
So this was that was a really good Patreon with the Fantastic Four.
I would hope so for listeners, because we hated that.
It was so bad. It was so bad.
Anyway, we should finally wrap this up.
Yes.
Yes.
So until
our usual socials and things.
Yeah, so until next time when we wrap up the first season of Rescue Bots Academy, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.